The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition and a Super Thursday coming up as well. Niall Hannity, James Millman and Mark Slater will be in the studio from 1:40pm. We have Beverley, Newmarket and Salisbury in the afternoon, Chepstow and Fontwell domestically in the evening. And there's a good card at Leopardstown on Thursday evening as well. So six meetings to look forward to on Racing Radio. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action, it's Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmers?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. And yes, I'm in great form, thank you, and enjoying the weather still. It's fantastic, isn't it?
It is. It's good stuff. And we're not too far away from York's Ebor meeting as well. That's coming up next week. Ooh. Some good racing this weekend as well there.
Yeah, plenty to look forward to. Yeah. Is it? I think it's Deauville this weekend, is it?
Yeah, on Sunday, yeah, the pre-morning.
Yeah, and then we've got 4 days on the Knavesmire. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Exciting stuff. Let's hope the weather holds out for there so we can see the Yorkshire ladies in their finest.
Yes. Let's talk about a few news stories, Bimmy, before we look ahead to Thursday's racing. The big one, I suppose, the one that's dominating the headlines at the moment is the ban obtained by Martin Dwyer from India. What do you make of all this? It's a bit bizarre, isn't it?
Very bizarre, very strange. Nobody really seems to understand what it's all about, whether they're saying that the 8 months actually equates to the many days racing that they have in India over that period of time, or whether it's actually 8 months. My main concern about the whole thing is that, this is not the first time incidents like this have happened in India, and you'd actually have to think that why the English jockeys are putting themselves in such jeopardy, really.
Yeah.
Now, whether they're getting extremely well paid remains to be seen, but if you're going out there thinking, you make a little rick and you're going to be severely punished, is it worthwhile going out there? So I think there's questions to be asked, and I would more than likely say more fool an English jockey going out there in the future, because it's basically not worth it.
Yeah, I think one or two of them will probably think twice about it now. We saw it happen to Richard Hughes, didn't we, and now Martin Dwyer.
Well, yeah, and it's happened a long time ago to Kevin Daly, I believe, and one or two others. So, it's not just the thing that's happened overnight here in India. It's something that's been going on for quite some time. So, again, tread carefully.
Elsewhere, Rosina, who is a clear-cut winner of the Queen Mary Stakes at Royal Ascot, she's going to bid for her first Group 1 on Sunday. You mentioned the racing at Deauville on Sunday, and the pre-money is her target, so
yeah,
interested to see how she gets on.
Well, we know Clyde Britton very much tilts at windmills, doesn't he? But this filly was very, very impressive at the Royal Meeting. She certainly deserves to take a chance, and it would be brilliant to see her win a Group 1 too. Clive in the twilight of his career, but again, still very, very in love with the game.
And while we're on the subject of York, we mentioned that as well. The big race there now shaping up, or one of the big races this week, the Judmont International. Al-Kazim is the 5-4 favourite with us, and Toronado likely to, well, we've heard, might go to the race as well. That would be something, wouldn't it? That's 2-1. And we're going top price about Al-Kazim here at William Hill as well, so 5-4 for anybody who likes him. Who would you side with in that?
I think I'd just sit tight at the moment and wait to see who turns up. It would be brilliant if Toronado did take his chance, that is for sure. And again, I think it's very brave of us to offer that odds against about Al-Kazim, and certainly, hopefully, we're going to tempt those Al-Kazim supporters in. But, be it on whoever's head it is up there in those odds making departments here at William Hill Towers, you'd imagine those guys will be under lock and key for that Ebor meeting. They will not be let out. They will not be allowed to mix with the humans till that big meeting is over. Until, hopefully, they've sucked us all in with their fancy prices.
Fair enough. That's an interesting take on the trading department here at William Hill. But anything else caught your eye in the news or anything, Pimmers, before?
Not really, no. It's been sort of like a little bit of a quiet time, hasn't it? A little bit, just a little bit of a hiatus after a glorious Goodwood, just waiting for the bandwagon to move to Yorkshire next week, and so a little bit of a quiet zone. Plenty of racing for punters to get stuck into, that is for sure. No shortage of that. Slightly bizarre, 8 days off jumping, and then we have Worcester and Stratford on the same day.
Yeah.
Don't know how that works, really.
No, I'm not too.
And the other thing from yesterday's racing was the Mighty McCoy. I didn't actually see it. Yeah. No wonder if people tweeted me, text me, rang me, sent the carrier pigeon to say McCoy was supreme yesterday.
Yeah, five winners on the day for AP yesterday. And the last of them, I can't remember the name of the horse now, but he hit the last. And it was all, you know, it obviously cost him momentum. And he got headed and still managed
got it back
to
up.
Get it back up.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. That, but that ride yesterday on Temple Lord was out of this world.
Yeah.
Textbook stuff. Brilliant.
Good. Let's move on then. Let's look at Thursday's racing. We've got some racing at Newmarket that we're going to look at. And at Salisbury as well, because there's a Group 3 on the card at Salisbury. So we'll start at Newmarket. We're going chronological order. The 3.15 there is a handicap, a Class 4 handicap, over the 7-furlong trip. And should we start here with Consign, who you've already been looking into, Pimmers, at Iams, and you've done quite a bit of research around this horse.
I have, actually. I'm just taken aback, actually. Chronological order.
Yeah.
Now, where did you get that from? Hey,
I've been reading.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Chronological order. I haven't a clue what it means, but anyway, it sounded pretty good to me. Yeah, Consign, I thought, was an interesting runner in this 7-furlong handicap. He has actually won at Windsor and Newmarket in the past, and I think Lingfield, where he lost his maiden tag, that was over 7 at Lingfield. The rest have been over a mile, and I'm just slightly concerned that dropping back to 7 just might be a little bit of a negative for him. He was held up in the rear last time out, never really got going, finishing 5th of 8 behind Short Squeeze at Sandown. I thought that was slightly disappointing, but prior to that he'd been in real good form with himself, Consign. And I just felt he would come here with a big chance. But then I think the dropping back to 7 could well be a negative. Richard Fye and Paul Hannigan teamed up last year with Common Touch to land the spoils. They've got Farlow in the race tomorrow. But for me, he ran very disappointing when he was 14th of 20 at York last time. He'd really have to bounce back to some sort of form. And the other one I thought comes here with a big chance is Balti's Sister. This is a 4-year-old and again been in real good form of late, and ran really well at Lingfield last time when winning, and again he looks as though he's a progressive sort, this fella. Don't know too much about his trainer Martin Smith, but a good jockey booking in the shape of Robert Winston. And the other horse that I think is interesting here is Front Page News. Osin Murphy takes a valuable £7 off this horse's back. Last time out the rider removed the hood very late. The rider last time was Robert Tart. Now, whether that was a ploy or whether he'd forgot he got the hood on, who knows? But again, the horse ran really well despite that that problem at the start. And I think he can bounce back to form tomorrow afternoon as well. So, competitive 10-runner handicap to get things underway for the patent. I'm going to take an each-way slant on Front Page News.
Okay, Front Page News to hit the headlines then.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant.
Yeah, there you go.
You'll be writing for the broadsheet shortly with that puns like that.
Yep, beautiful. Everyone loves a good pun, don't they?
Oh, indeed, yeah.
The 3.55 at Salisbury then is the next race that we're going to look at. This is the Sovereign Stakes, which is a Group 3
contest. Now I know what you mean, chronological is.
Yes, in time.
Time for, yes, yeah. I'll sort my bits out.
It's the Sovereign Stakes, which is a Group 3 contest over a mile. And we shall start here with... should we start with Afsir, who has hit the crossbar on a number of occasions, including last time at Sandown. But it wasn't a bad effort, only going down by 3/4 of a length behind Mandor in a listed race. So up in grade a little bit here, but... Has contested Group 1 contest in the past.
He has indeed,
Prince of Wales Stakes, didn't it? So.
Yeah, and he was runner-up in the Arlington Million last year, you know, so he's got some good form in the book, that is for sure. I think he's a bit of a tricky customer, to be perfectly honest. He's not straightforward, and as you can see from his form figures, second seems to suit him better than first, doesn't it? So just might be a few issues with him. I think it's the Lennox Stakes that possibly holds the key to this race. That was at Glorious Goodwood, and that was a race that Garswood won, and on that occasion he had Boom and Bust and Professor behind him. Now Boom before Bust ran well. He finished third. Professor didn't have the best of luck throughout the race, and he got a little bit of a bump and a bang, and he did well to stay on to finish seventh. So whether a bit smaller field might help Professor to get back to some sort of form tomorrow might be in his favour. Who knows? Snowboarder, I tipped him up last time out, actually, when he finished third behind Mount Ridge in Group 3 at Goodwood. Again, that was a good performance, I thought. He possibly needs to up his game if he's going to tackle the two Group 2 performers in the shape of Boom and Bust. Fulbright, looking at the jockey bookings, would be the second string for Charlie Appleby. Highland Knight, he's got an official mark of 111, so he gets him in the mix. Again, he ran well in defeat last time out at Chester, but that was back in May, so he's had a bit of a break. So we wonder if he's had a few training issues along the way there. And again, that we've mentioned all six of the field. Group 3 status, good race to be winning. 42,532 to the winner, and the pin has fallen on Boom and Bust. George Baker absolutely flying high at the moment, his jockey.
Okay then, Boom and Bust there. And back to Newmarket we go then for the 450. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile, and quite an open handicap as well. We've got Broadway Duchess in there, who's not been in bad form for the in-form Richard Hannan team. We've got Morpheus, who's Frankel's brother. He won a couple of times before finishing 4th last time. Silver Dixie is another that couldn't be ruled out, but possible issues with the trip there. What do you like for the 450 Pimmers?
Yeah, that was it. I was looking at Silver Dixie thinking, yeah, that's an interesting runner. Ran over a mile and three last time out, drops back to a mile tomorrow. That could be the key to Silver Dixie, that they put it up in trip. They held her up last time, and again, that might be the case that they found that mile and three too long. So dropping back to a mile is significant. Not just sure, Mark, what it's won over Silver Dixie in the past.
It's won over 10 furlongs twice. In fact, yeah, both career wins have come over a mile and a quarter. So
that's a negative, yeah. Isn't it? Dropping back to a mile tomorrow. So that's, I think, one of the reasons why I put a little line through Silver Dixie. As you say, Morpheus, half-brother to Frankel, fair horse in his own right. He's obviously nothing in the shape of his brother, that's for sure, but he did run really well in defeat last time out, and he'd been in good form prior to that. George Rook, well, he was slightly disappointed in apprentice handicap at York last time out, but his stable's in good form, that of Kevin Ryan. Neil Callan can do no wrong as well, so you'd expect a big run from that fella. Broadway Duchess, now that's the interesting runner for me here. Ran really well in a fillies handicap at Glorious Goodwood there the other week. Just lost second close home, and I think more than likely can get back to winning ways tomorrow. Broadway Duchess, Richard Hannan and Sean Levy teaming up there.
Okay, up to a mile as well for the first time, Broadway Duchess. Do you think that'll suit?
Yeah, all the races so far have been run over 7 furlongs. I think more than likely feel that it's time for her to just go that extra furlong, and I'm hoping that that's going to play into her favour as well.
Okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then, if we can, Pimmers, before you go, if you just want to spin us through your three selections one more time.
Yeah, the three for their patent tomorrow, 3:15 at Newmarket, number 10, Front Page News. Over to Salisbury for their 5-4, the Sovereign Stakes, Group 3 status. We're going for Boom and Bust. And back to headquarters, to Newmarket, for their 10-5 race, 16:40 in chronological order. And the selection there, number 3, Broadway Duchess.
Thank you very much, Pimmers. It's been a pleasure as always. Enjoy it on Thursday.
We will indeed.
Those are the selections of Chris Pimlott then for Thursday's racing at both Newmarket and Beverley. You'll hear that on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Niall Hannity, James Millman and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Beverley, Newmarket and Salisbury in the afternoon. In the evening we have racing at Chepstow and Fontwell. And over in Ireland at Leopardstown, there's a good card there which features the Group 3 Desmond Stakes. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.